through the word of God, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus left Samaria for Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his native place. When he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had all seen what he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves had gone to the feast. Then he returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. Now there was a royal official whose son was ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son who was near death. Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my son dies." Jesus said to him, "You may go. Your son will live." The man believed what Jesus said to him and left. While the man was on his way back, his slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. He asked them when he began to recover. They told him, "The fever left him yesterday, about 1 p.m. The father realized that just at that time Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he and his whole household came to believe. Now, this was the second sign Jesus did when he came to Galilee from Judea. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Yesterday, as we pondered the healing of the man born blind, we recognized that Jesus had more than just a physical miracle in store for that man, so that the works of glory might be revealed. He had a spiritual healing for him and a spiritual healing for all of us. He had sent this man on a journey so that he would be able to participate in his own cure. And the Lord sends us likewise on a journey. Today, in this miracle of the healing of the son of this royal official from Capernaum, we see what type of journey the Lord wants us to make in faith. We begin today 2.5 weeks in which we're going to focus on St. John's Gospel all the way through Wednesday of Holy Week. And St. John's Gospel not only features all the signs, the miracles of Jesus, but all of the paths of faith and the resistance to faith that we see in his gospel. Today's miracle is one that launches us off on the type of path Jesus wishes us to take. There was a 20-mile gap between Cana and Capernaum. As soon as this royal official, this pagan, had heard that Jesus had returned to the area, he made that 20-mile journey, met Jesus. He had obviously left very early in the morning in order to be able to get there. Probably would have taken him about 7 hours if he was in shape and walking at a good clip. And he begged Jesus to come and heal his son who was at the point of death. He had faith in order to be able to go to Jesus. But just like Jesus did with the Syrophoenician mother whose daughter was attacked by demons in Tyre, who Jesus went into this 4-stage dialogue to bring her to a real faith. "Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table." Jesus wanted to take this man on a journey of much deeper faith. And so he starts off by something that seems like the most inconsiderate thing you can say to a dad who's worried about his little boy who's about to die. "You people won't believe unless you see signs and wonders." We have that expression still today. Seeing is believing. If I can touch it, if I can hear it, then I'll believe. Jesus would say later in St. John's Gospel to doubting Thomas, you've believed, Thomas, because you've seen me. But blessed are those who have not seen but believed." Jesus wanted to help this royal official go from that type of tactile or auditory or visual faith, that type of scientism, we could call it, to a real faith. That's why he started off with those words. The dad at first didn't really want to hear it, didn't want to get into things about you people. So he simply said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." That's when Jesus brought him to the conclusion. He said, "Your son, you may go, your son will live." So it took tremendous faith for that man to set off home. Could have thought that Jesus was just blowing him off. Could have thought perhaps that Jesus just wasn't caring enough to make that journey. Because there had been no miracles like this before. When Jesus had cured everybody who was being brought to his door in Capernaum, he was touching and going by everyone. That this official had heard about, maybe he had even witnessed. But now there was going to be a 20-mile gap. And he was going to have to walk just on Jesus' word. He was going to have to believe in Jesus enough to believe in what he said. But he did. So he set off on that 7-mile journey home, 7-hour journey home, 20 miles. And along the way, his slaves went out and told him that his boy had gotten better. Would have been just enough for him to start running home at that point. Happy. But he asked a question. It's a very important question. What time? He wanted to verify that it was precisely what he thought had happened. That it wasn't just a coincidence that his boy had ameliorated, but that it was because of what Jesus said. And they said at 1 p.m, and that was the exact time. So this man couldn't stop telling others about what Jesus had done. And he and his whole household, St. John tells us at the end, came to believe. This is the journey that the Lord wants us to make, to walk by His Word, to walk according to the promises He has given us. This morning, in the Vatican, Pope Francis gave a very powerful homily about how often Christians don't actually walk this walk of faith. We are deceived. We think we are, but we're really not. And he described 3 categories of Christians who don't actually imitate what God indicates to us in this royal official from Capernaum. The first, he says, are those who believe but who don't get off their fannies, who don't walk. They believe in heaven, they believe things are going to work out well for those who love God, but they actually don't grow. They don't actually do anything. Lots of people who believe Jesus has the power to forgive sins, but they just don't come to confession. Lots of people who believe that this is really Jesus, but they won't arrange their schedules to come as often as they can during the week. Lots of people who believe that God actually hears our prayers, but they don't actually make the time to prioritize prayer in their life. Lots of people who believe what Jesus says, that as often as we do it to the least of His brothers and sisters, we do it to Him personally. But then they don't make the effort to go care for Jesus when he's hungry or thirsty or naked or ill or in prison or naked. They believe, but they don't walk. Second group of people, Pope Francis says, are those who are actually walking, but walking down the wrong path. They've got an erroneous notion of where they're supposed to journey, and they head down dead ends. Can happen to all of us, Pope Francis says. We can take down those wrong paths. Maybe we learned the faith a little bit erroneously. Maybe we were persuaded by one of our sins, by our being drawn toward immorality, to try to change the faith. That happens, frankly, with a lot of sexual sins today. People get involved in 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th marriages, thinking that the Lord calls him to love, whereas the Lord calls him to love faithfully the spouse to which he joined them until death. They're walking down the wrong path. But they are, in a sense, seeking a little bit to walk by faith. But they're just on the wrong road. Pope Francis says, for those, the Lenten call to conversion, to get back on that path in which they're really following Christ. Not to be proud about it, but to go to Him and say, okay, how do I get back on that proper journey? The third path, he says, is the most dangerous of all. He says, it's the path of existential tourism. People are journeying, but they're journeying kind of like tourists instead of pilgrims. Anybody who's guided an awful lot of people in holy spots recognizes the difference between a pilgrim and a tourist. A tourist is just going through a whole bunch of experiences. Hey, interesting. Boy, look at how beautiful that is. And they start going from one quantum experience to the next. But there's no real journey that's happening there. There's no real direction. A pilgrim sees many of the same places, but sees them in a different way. A pilgrim goes to these places and say, I want to live more like St. Peter, whose remains I just prayed before. I want to imitate St. Therese's little way, having had the privilege to come here to her beautiful basilica. I want to serve the poor the way St. Vincent de Paul did, before whose remains I've just knelt. There's a real direction to the journey in a pilgrim, whereas others are just sort of spinning around, going from one experience to another, trying to be entertained, trying to ward off boredom, but not really walking according to the Lord's promises. That's what this royal official in the Gospel shows us. By Jesus' word, he started to walk with intentionality. There was a purpose to what he was doing. And Pope Francis is calling us all to have that same purpose. To understand the Lord's promises and to seek their fulfillment, to journey on that path. Today in the first reading, Isaiah, for God, described the promises of the New Jerusalem, which is of course heaven, but it's also supposed to be anticipated here on earth, that we begin to walk with intentionality toward what God describes, really basing our whole life on His promises. The essence of Christian hope, Pope Francis said, is to journey in this way. So now we're a little bit more than halfway through Lent. How have we been walking? Have we just been going from one Mass to another without really any direction? Have we just been going from one meaningful spiritual experience or another? Are we on some wrong paths? Do we believe, but are we staying stagnant in our faith? Or are we really following the Lord Jesus on this Lenten way of the cross, up to Calvary and through Calvary to that new and eternal Jerusalem? It's what Pope Francis wants us to ask. Today, to strengthen us, we have made a journey here. It hasn't been a journey of 7 hours walking, but we've made a journey to the same Jesus before whom this royal official pleaded. Jesus wants to do something far greater for us than he did for that boy. He wants to give us his greatest enduring miracle, and then he wants us to imitate it, giving our body, shedding our blood for others. Really making that effort, acting on His word, letting it become the real direction of our life. Let us ask Him to strengthen us as we prepare to receive Him now, so that we and our whole household may believe, and out of that belief, journey with Jesus all the way to the Father's eternal embrace. Praise be Jesus Christ.